The Tights and Fights podcast, for over 6 years, a revolutionary force in sports and entertainment.
Now, this is a podcast where we podcast. We take our time. Sometimes we are talking about sense, and sometimes cats, you shouldn't rhyme. I couldn't think of a rhyme, so I just rhyme time with rhyme. Thank you so much. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and the hilarity that it deserves. The Dan has come around. I am Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, L.A. Wright. Yeah! Lindsay Kell.
Hello, yeah! That's me, L.A. Knight. What's he up to? What do you think he's doing right now? Right this second.
Honestly, I think that L.A. Knight is probably, like, sitting at home writing down a bunch of ideas in a notebook that no one will read.
Yes, right. I was going to say, I think he's always on. I bet he just always wears that little waistcoat. Like, he gets out of bed in the morning and puts that little waistcoat on over his pajamas. Because he wears, you know, cotton button-up pajamas. But he puts the little waistcoat on.
I do like a man in a vest. A vest is so good!
It's so good. Do you think he has a cat and the cat has a little vest?
Well, I think if he doesn't, now I'm going to be incredibly disappointed for the rest of my life.
Hal's not here.
Hal's a baby! Julian, tell us about the Tights and Fights sign at WrestleMania.
I realized I'd never told the story the other day because I'm moving some things around in the house, and I saw the Tights and Fights sign that I took to WrestleMania. You've seen it on social media. It's been out there. If you follow us on Instagram, it's the same one that I held up in front of the ring. So when I left the first day, I had to put the sign behind my chair because, as somebody from SoFi said, it is too big and it is going to get in the way of somebody else's viewing experience. And rather than say, no, it won't, that's dumb, I just decided to be a good attendee and just put it behind me because it's not really a big deal. So I put it there, and then I'm getting ready to leave the stadium. And I'm about halfway out when I realize I am not holding my sign right now. So I can't just give that up. I'm not a quitter, so I've got to get it back somehow. So I go back, and they're immediately giving me the nope. Once you have crossed this part of the thing, you unfortunately cannot. And I'm like saying, like, no, you don't understand. I've left something important by my chair.
Something precious. A precious thing.
Something really important. Like, I really just need to go back and get it and come right back here. And one of the people who was at the stadium just kind of like hemmed and hawed and said, do I really want to? And then they went and talked to their supervisor, which apparently this is something you need to do for. And they were like, I mean, I guess, and I didn't wait for the full yes. I just said, okay, thanks. And I just ran off to the thing. And every time somebody stopped me, I kept saying, they just told me I could go back. I'm going to be right there. So I'm like, I go up and I get the sign. Thankful that I have it, and I'm getting out, and I think that I had it kind of rough, but then I hear somebody else trying to negotiate their way back to the floor of the stadium, because this person did not take their commemorative WrestleMania chair with them, which broke my heart. And they were not as lucky as I was, because that, like, you pay a lot for those seats, and the least that they can give you is a chair with a bunch of wrestlers' faces on them. So I felt very bad for that person, and very happy I got my sign back.
Well, look, they didn't have your Miles Morales drip. Like, if they had your Miles Morales Riz, y'all don't understand this. He literally looks like Miles Morales in person. Like, y'all don't understand it. Like,
yeah, maybe like 8 years down the road.
But they do know that you can flex, Julian, and they do know that you lift. So, like, can you imagine? You know,
one thing I left out was that I did turn the corner and just do a couple of push-ups just to make sure the pump was good before I asked them. So that might have been what put me over the top.
Or they just saw that and went, this motherfucker is crazy. I just saw him doing push-ups. Let him go and get his sign.
Yeah.
Either way, it worked, didn't it? Because you've got it. Yeah, you've got it back.
I've got it.
Speaking of the Riz, Lindsay Kalk, you got a tour in England coming up.
I do. The Riz is a lot of pressure. But I do have a tour. No, do you know, I was talking about this with someone the other day and she was like, isn't it funny how we all started writing by you were just a weirdo teenager with a notebook and no friends and an interest in vampires, and now you're having to go on a fucking tour and entertain people and defend yourself and why you do what you do. And I'm like, it is actually nuts, because none of us got into writing to go on tour. You got into writing to be left alone. So the whole thing is very strange.
I keep getting flued out for something where I'm like, man, if... Don't I usually get flued out and it's like there's like sex with a rapper involved? No.
Right? We love a flued out.
Yeah, I love a flued like, out.
At the end of it, I would just want to sit with a cocktail alone with people I know. That said, I am going on tour. Please come see me. It is an emotional, stressful time for me, because I am, in the words of our Lord and Savior Taylor Swift, a perpetual people pleaser, I will put on a good show. So even though it's killing me on the inside, you will have the best night of your life. So please come to the tour. Please come see me. I'm being joined by some amazing authors. Some of them know about wrestling. Some of them don't. They will by the end of it. So come hang out. Talk about books. Talk about wrestling. Talk about cats. Talk about bots. Please come. It's really soon. It's like mid-July. Yikes.
Oh, that's really exciting. And speaking of England, the journey to Money in the Bank at the O2 Arena continues. I was going to make a joke about the O2 Arena, but I can't, because half of our dumbass stadiums and arenas are like named after NFTs and cryptocurrency. So there's like nothing. I have nothing. Like we are.
It's a phone service. It's like having a Verizon Arena. The O2 is a phone service. She says, I used to have an O2 phone. I assume it still is. Who knows? Because we have a crypto arena in LA now, and now there is no crypto.com in America. So, lol.
Remember when millionaires were like, put my name on stuff so I look good, and now they're like, branding. So, Santos Escobar, Pete Butch Dunn. I'm sorry, every time I say Butch, I have to say it the way that they said it in
Butch
Pulp Fiction. Butch.
Butch.
What does it feel like to kill a man? Butch. And Damian Priest are in the ladder match. Bayley and Io Sky have joined the women's ladder match, which is really exciting. I feel like this is going to start to maybe be when we start to see the cracks in the relationship, but I don't think it's going to crack whole, because I feel like this Triple H era has been a lot of like, let stuff play out until physically, slow boil, until like physically all of us are just like, fucking do something. We love the storyline, but change it. And then it changes. And then we're like, yay. Yeah.
I feel like we are going to see some fun stuff, because we're getting closer to SummerSlam, and Trips is going to want to pull out some of his best toys for SummerSlam. And we all know Bayley is one of his best toys. So
true story.
There's something there. And, you know, we also see something cooking with Damian Priest and Finn Balor, with the Money in the Bank briefcase, which I am very excited about the possibilities there. Pumped that Pete gets to be in the match at home. That's nice. That's nice for Pete. I'm hoping that he gets to be Pete too. Like, maybe he gets to be Pete Dunne in England. No.
What
Butch.
Does it feel like to kill a man? Butch.
He would know. He does look like he could kill a man. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm really sad that I'm not going to be there for it, because I would have loved to go. I've never been to a Money in the Bank, and I think I would enjoy a Money in the Bank, but I'm going to just miss it. The last time I saw wrestling at the O2, I saw Philip tag teaming with Daniel Bryan. Can't remember who they were tagging against, but my friend managed to find the only quiet moment in the entire night and scream, get your tits out for the lads, because CM Punk and Daniel Bryan didn't want to take their t-shirts off. And everyone was like, off, because they were teasing it. And she screamed it real loud, but it was feminism, because it's a lady. And then they did take her t-shirts off. So
yeah, feminism is when get your tits out, but a lady.
Yeah, a lady shouted it at boys. It's like when women tell a man in the street to smile. It's feminism. It's fine.
Feminism. It's okay. Fine. We're doing good. And then also we've got... this is going to be so funny. We've got Cody Rhodes and Dominic in the Battle of Nepo Babies, and Cody Rhodes gets such a huge pop, and Dominic gets such heat. I'm really interested, especially if Cody goes in wearing his like full-on Homelander drag.
I know.
To like
I
English? Feel like I want to see it. I want to see
I'm
it.
I'm wondering, because he's got to face it so hard, he's got to be the biggest face on the planet, because obviously Dom is the most hated man on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I am wondering, does Cody get like a Union Jack special made?
I would.
Because mm-hmm. people are going to be so, so hot for Dominic. Cody could really just coast on those booze. You know, mm-hmm. he could really coast on Dominic's booze and have himself a grand old time. But I would play into it. I'd come out with a bulldog. I'd come out in the Union Jack. I'd do the whole thing.
I just think that if you are going to be a civil rights leader in the vein of Cody Rhodes,
yes,
like that, yes. That extends to every country. So I would like him to do like Adele did when she came out in like the Jamaica bikini.
Yes, and the hair.
For carnival. So if he could just like come out in a carnival.
You know, like there's work to be done. Like the special relationship between the UK and the US has been well documented. It is a historical thing and it has been damaged. So work needs to be done. So I'm just saying, Cody's been to the White House before. Not for this one, the one before. But the less said about that, the better. But he has been. So I'm thinking maybe he could pop in and see Uncle Joe and say, I am going over. Is there anything you want me to do while I'm there as our country's leading civil rights activist?
Also, we're so close to Juneteenth.
And Money in the Bank is right before July 4th. So I just think you combine all those things and we're sending him over. The UK is in the midst of political turmoil. The only thing perhaps that could save us now, Cody.
Especially now that like Dominic can actually go.
Right. I think they're going to have a fun match.
I think they are.
They're like a similar height. They're a similar size-ish.
Obviously, Cody's the vet, but come on. Cody's the vet.
We got a lot of heritage. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of disrespect. We got Cody treading water. We've got Brock refusing to fly to England, quite clearly. Brock just saying.
I'm sorry. Is there sable in England? Is there a mountain? Is there cows? Then no, Brock ain't going.
It does make me wonder how much the Saudis pay Brock versus what he was going to get to go to the UK. Like he was like, I'm going to pass on that, thanks. Even in summer, they can't guarantee good weather. And we can't, although it's been very nice lately, I've heard, Brock. But I'm fine with it because it has given us Nepo Baby Bash 2023, which I just think is going to be barrels of fun, like stupid amounts of fun.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And also, so we've got all of these new titles. And so now we've got like Asuka's title, which looked like they just like smeared mustard all over the WWE women's title. And then we've got Rhea Ripley's Women's World Championship, which again, just like I complained about last week, just looks like they took the Eagle title and just like stamped the app icon on top of it. That's
they
what
did.
It feels like.
But I prefer the Raw titles. I like those. If I had to have one, do you know what I mean? If they were like, Lindsay, you must. And I was like, yeah, fine. I prefer, because I love a big gold belt.
I love a big gold belt. And the other ones definitely, they feel way more like, oh, I'm going to press that and take it to the home screen than like the Eagle belt does.
Yeah, they look more like a superhero belt. You know, it's like you could size that down and it could be on Batman's belt buckle. You know, like I don't think, you shouldn't be able to look at it and think this would scale up or down nicely. You should look at it and be like, oh, that's a nice belt. In exactly that tone.
when I look at the new Eagle belts now, literally every time I look at them, it just looks like grandma's not doing great. She's been really sick. And grandkid wants to help her complete the quilt. So grandkid now is putting like their like, you know, Miles Morales Spider-Verse graffiti all over Nana's quilt. And it's like, okay, well, you just took these
Nana
two
wasn't
things.
Gonna use a SpongeBob SquarePants square, but thank you. Yeah. Oh, Nana wasn't gonna use a picture of Elmo stood in front of a fire on her quilt, but thanks.
Now it's done before she dies. Yeah. But
yeah,
I love a heritage.
I love the heritage of it, and that's why I like those, because they look, you know, legit.
Right. The design just doesn't match. Yeah. That's all it is for me. It's literally one of those things where it's like, it's like if someone turned the Roman Colosseum into a multi-use building where you had like a Panera Bread and other things.
Touchscreens.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm saying it's two conflicting styles of thing. And when you smash them together, you remember mashups?
Yes, I do.
And some of them would work. And then you would get some where it was just like, oh, this only works in your brain. That's how that felt.
I hear you. I do.
That's just me. I think that's just me. I think most people agree with you where they like the new Eagle belts.
I like them better than one went before. They feel that's more legit. Fair.
Yes.
But I will say, watching SmackDown and Raw this week, two notes. One being, love the fact that Oscar's just coming out in street clothes now. Oscar's like, I have the belt. I don't give a shit. You're going to make me work, Charlotte. I don't want to. Fuck you. These are my clothes. Love that for Oscar. I was ready for that, it turns out. That's the thing I was ready for. Street clothes, Oscar. And the other thing is, has any women's champion in the modern era looked like they belong with that championship more than Rhea Ripley?
Jesus fucking Christ. She looks like new money with no change.
Right? She looks like she was born with that thing on her shoulder.
Yeah.
It completes her, and she completes it, and yeah, it's beautiful, and I never want it to end.
From cheers to boos instantly, as Dominic Mysterio appeared, but how beautiful is the new Women's World Championship?
Almost as beautiful as the loving couple before us. This is couples goals stuff, KP.
Watching her walk to the ring this week, it was just... I was, like, stunned into silence. And I love me some Rhea Ripley. This is not news to anyone. But I'm like, holy shit. I just don't remember this looked... Because she's not looking at it like, oh my God, look at my baby. Look at this incredible thing. It's like, yep, this is mine. I am it. It is mine. Mm-hmm. We belong together. No question. I deserve this.
And she does deserve to be the first champ on that belt.
Oh, she really does.
They got to figure out something with Charlotte. We'll talk about that. Like,
make
I
it
just,
go away. I just want to talk about the whole rest of the episode, Julian. I'm sorry. It's all about Rhea.
I love Charlotte. I just... If she doesn't have the belt, she doesn't have a character, and that's, like, a problem.
No, totally. And I'm sick of the, I don't stand in line. I want my shot. Fuck off.
I don't wait in line. I made the line.
What she did last time she was here, which is still only 2 minutes ago, was disgraceful. I'm sorry. I was like, I'd say that to her face. I wouldn't, obviously. She'd hit me.
No, because she'd hit me.
Yeah. Like, and she totally
I'd mumble
would.
It to you.
Yeah. I would wait until she'd like gone to the bar, away. Like across yeah. the room, and I would be like, you know what? I just think that last run, she was really disrespectful to everyone she worked with.
Oh, hi, just like Charlotte. That. Yeah. Hey.
Like, oh, my God. I love your shoes.
Oh, my God. Let's talk later. Because she'd hit me in the face and she'd be right.
Yeah. But we would also be right because that last run was really
good.
Poor
not
and me. Disrespectful to the people that she worked with. It was, I'm sorry. So I'm not thrilled to see her back on my screen so quickly. And if they put a fucking belt on her, yikes.
I don't want them to take them off of anyone they're on right now. So speaking of, so the tag titles, Sammy and Kevin Owens retained in a really fucking great Raw main event.
Holy shit,
like,
so good.
Jesus fucking
wrestling.
Christ.
This is wrestling.
It's, I love how every, I want to say, as often as people seem to remember that the dude that does, I'll keep forgetting we're not in love anymore, isn't black, is as often as people seem to remember that, like, oh, Kevin Owens is, like, really talented. So, like, twice a year on Twitter. And this was one of those ones. Unfortunately, Gunter doing the Intercontinental match was the other one. So I think we've burned through the two times that people on Twitter remember that Kevin Owens is the best thing in the world.
Let's just hold it in our minds and hearts, friends.
That's what I'm
saying. Let's just know it and not just wait for him to do a splash or a cannonball or something.
Yeah.
Like, he can do whatever he wants whenever he wants, but baby's got to protect his body. He's not getting any younger.
No.
But he's so good. And this match was so good. And did I think they were going to lose? No. But did I think that one moment when Sammy pulled his shoulder up at 2 9/10. Like, did my heart stop? Yes. Bit. Just people who clearly trust each other, who have so much respect for each other. I would watch Gunther, and I'm the other guy, but I would watch Gunther wrestle Kevin and Sammy, like, all the live long day.
Giovanni Vinci.
Oh, it's that- just...
Or it's Ludwig Kaiser.
Ludwig Kaiser, yeah. Still a very challenging name, isn't it? Ludwig Kaiser. Still a very challenging name.
I can only say it like Samantha. It's the only way that I can do it. To make Fair. It. And I'm German, and I'm even like, oh, it makes me nervous.
I know, and I speak German, and it just makes me very nervous.
Also, so going back to NXT, which... there's a lot of really good happening. I'm starting to get kind of excited and invested in NXT again. Although I do miss Sol, but she's injured. That's not her bad. But like, so Seth's going to go defend his championship on NXT. Kind of giving me NXT is third brand again vibes. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a little bit last time I was here. And I was, you know, I feel like they're a friendly ex. I wish them well. And maybe it's time that we... like, get a coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Because everyone seems pumped. And who am I to say otherwise?
Papa Sean is putting in that work. He's doing
that
work
for everyone. I love that for him. I love that for them. I'm, like, super into Tiffany Stratton. Like,
yeah.
She's so fun and good.
Ooh.
Another person who, like, looks like she just owns that belt. You know?
I just...
so...
and also, I mean, I like... she's just got a really good swan dive. Y'all can continue to leave us your thoughts on the past week of wrestling on our Facebook group and all of our other socials via the links in our show notes. When we come back, the Prince of WWE up next on Tights and Fights.
My fellow graduates, for 500 episodes, my podcast, The JV Club with Janet Varney, has gathered story after story of all the scandalous things we've done throughout our childhoods.
Wait, what's happening?
Stories like how Jamila Jamil survived a horrific house party and she was on crutches.
This is great.
Or how Hal Lublin learned a Shakespearean monologue in his pajamas.
This is not the speech we approve.
Without your love and life tragedies, there would be no podcast. In fact, I'll have an exclusive look at how Maggie Lawson's mom confronted her after a sneaky basement meetup with her crush.
Spill the tea, JV.
Security!
Listen to the JV Club with Janet Varney, Thursdays on Maximum Fun! Class of forever!
They've got a podcast, Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by...
Lindsay Kelk.
Yay! So, it's time, once again, to give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Get a life, kid.
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit.
WWE Dynamite.
I love cake. I hate nuts.
Look at this face.
And a hard fight victory.
Live, pal.
What?
Good every time.
Look at his face. Look at his face.
I can't handle it. So speaking of something endlessly entertaining, Finn Balor has been in WWE for almost a decade. We have been fans of his for forever.
Now, some people love me. And some people hate me. But if you want to get to know me, you better come see me in this ring.
He's been the premier champion of NXT twice, held a ton of championships on the main roster, even when he's had to put on, like, that whole demon thing, which was really hot and sexy. No, it was really hot and sexy to put on, like, the fucking weird, like, fake cut-up yarn threads. And it looks like it was made in, like, a craft shop and the admittedly very long time.
I just remember Uncle Halbert referring to it once as... like Urban Outfitters belts.
No,
and
I've
never gotten
it.
Over it. I can't unsee it now. And I was never anti-demon because I've followed Finn for such a long time. And
yes.
I knew some of his work in New Japan and I love him and I respect the demon and I respect the heritage of it and how he came to it in Japan and all that stuff and the work and the art that goes into creating it. But then Hal said the headgear looked like Urban Outfitters belts. And now I don't ever want to see it again.
Yeah, it was very much, because I'm in the same place as you are. So let's scroll back a little bit. We've known about him since New Japan, back when I was following New Japan more. I haven't been following it as much now. I feel like a bad fan.
It's in a fallow period. It's fine.
And it's all ups and downs, you know, and it'll come in and get back. And go.
Yeah, it's fine.
What did you think when you first saw Fergal Devitt?
I can't say what I first thought because it's not appropriate, but I consider him to be a very attractive man. I think he's a very handsome gentleman. And my first thought was probably like, because I'm English. So obviously that is how we signal our attraction to someone. And you can go back and see so much of his New Japan stuff. And there's tons of interviews and tons of behind the scenes stuff, all of his stuff with Gallows and Anderson, like right at the beginning when they were, you know, the Gaijins, when they were setting it all up. It's so fantastic.
I am very happy when people make money, and if people are making money and taking care of their families, that's fantastic. But no one made those dudes more relevant than Finn did.
No, and if it weren't for him, we wouldn't necessarily have a Kenny Omega. We wouldn't necessarily have an AJ Styles. Cody came through a Bullet Club, you know, baptism. And I'm not saying those people wouldn't be fantastic and wouldn't be right at the top, but they wouldn't have taken the route that they did. Like, he created that group. And New Japan had traditionally been a wrestling territory, a promotion where foreigners didn't get ahead. You know, the foreign wrestlers were never given the spotlight. Finn was one of the first wrestlers of this time period, of this era, that came in. He came through the system. He went all the way up, and he wanted to learn and he wanted to do it. And that is one of the things that made Bullet Club such a success. That they brought that heel sensibility.
Yes.
Prince Devitt in Tokyo, Japan, wants to say a little hello to the Irish audience watching, and we're going to say a little goodbye to Taguchi this weekend, because we're going to put the bag on his fucking head.
Udasai, you little bitch! Udasai, you little bitch!
And we're going to pull the trigger. We are Bullet Club, and we do what we want. Taguchi goes in the bag, and Taguchi Apollo 55 is finished forever.
Finn opened that door, and I believe that.
And he was a shepherd for that, in the same way that he was a shepherd for all of the work that early young Becky Lynch was doing.
Totally, and that's the thing. Like, he's given so much to the industry that I think, I don't think it's a secret, but I do think he deserves more props for it, like for the development work he's done since he was a young kid.
Yeah,
he's always held the door open. He has always helped other people up the ladder. It makes my heart very warm for him. I love him. I don't just love him. I love him.
I love him.
But and I just think he's like, so great.
Yeah, and like even when he like was part of that early group of people who jumped to NXT when NXT was having like half developmenting of new talent phase and half bringing on indie talent phase, he became like a top guy of the brand. And I think that part of what made that work for me was that he is so incredibly stupidly talented, and he had a reputation behind him. But also, as we were saying earlier, wrestling with Finn will make you look like a top guy, even if you're not a top guy.
He will sharpen you right up. Obviously, we were all super excited when Kenta showed up, and it's like, oh my God, Kenta, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
But when Fergal Devitt shows up, game changer, because that was like, oh, holy shit, like Nakamura, Fergal Devitt, Kenta, it's like, oh shit, something is happening here.
Yes, like, oh, they're really taking this seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just the PWG guys, like, as happy as I am to see the PWG guys, but that to me was when NXT becomes something different.
I mean, like him, Kevin, Sammy, I'd say there's like a top five, and I'm not sure who would be in the other two. Asuka, probably. But we could debate about that.
Oh,
and Julian, put a pin in that. Let's go ahead and make that. Julian just sent a thing. Dare we say the pillars of NXT, and then he covered it with, no, we shouldn't. But so then he goes up to the main roster, then he becomes like the first ever Universal Champion, which we made fun of the belt a lot because it still looks like a Tootsie Roll or an uncooked piece of meat to me. And then to my fucking personal horror, and I think a lot of us, immediately he gets injured. After like finally it was like, yes, like this person who should be at the top of the world immediately has to surrender the title.
I have to relinquish this title, but rest assured. But rest assured that when I am healthy and when I am fit and when I am ready, I will be back, and this title is the first thing that I'm coming for.
That was genuinely brutal because it was so exciting. And it was one of those examples where it seemed like, oh, Vince is going to listen. Right. And I think, and you know, as I'm sat here saying Finn has done so many incredible things for the company. That was one of the worst things that could happen to the company. Yeah. And obviously it was not his fault, Seth. But obviously Vince taking a chance on the new guy who was not new, is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. Shut your face, Vincent. A smaller guy, a new guy, one of Hunter's guys, and then he gets brutally injured in that match. Mm. Brutally injured. He's out for months and months and months. He comes back with a gnarly scar. But I did feel... there's no two ways around it, is it? He wasn't put back in the position that he left. Like, he never was. He's
back.
Always kind of been put in as a heater or as a sideshow because they're like, we're not sure what to do. Do you mind popping the demon out? And he's like, go on then. Because, you know, if nothing else, he's a team player.
Yeah.
But it does break my heart that he's never been put back to where he deserves to be from my perspective. But at the same time, everything Seth said in his promo this week, when he was fucking allowed to speak, I'm really sorry, I like to keep this a positive space, but fuck that Kansas crowd this week on Raw.
Like,
I'm sorry, friends. Why are you there? Like, they were so quiet.
They were actually doing a really good promo thing, and this was a really important promo for Finn.
All they want to do is sing the Seth Rollins song, which, as we've established, genuinely gives me a migraine.
You want something to sing about? How about you sing about this? 7 years ago, I was a first-round draft pick on Raw. I beat Roman Reigns on my first night. And 3 weeks later, I beat you to become the first ever Universal Champion.
I think that Finn did better than most people would have given him credit for.
Yes.
Because most people, like, I think their thing is like, well, Finn's not great on the mic. And it's like, well, they don't really give him shit to do on the mic.
No.
And when they talk about him on the network, rest in peace, it's always like, I'm Finn. Or like Legos. Like, what are we supposed to do with that? You know what I mean?
Like Legos. Finn is my second coming of Bret Hart to me. Mm-hmm. Like, Finn is Bret. You know, like he might not be the best on the mic. He delivers when he needs to, but he's a better wrestler than he is a promo guy.
Right. Well, and the thing with Bret, and I love that. You know, I can't even say it sarcastically. I know I'm such a heel. I am a heel of this podcast when it comes to Bret Hart, and I'm okay with it. But also, like, you know, Finn had some time when he was like NXT champ. He like went back down. He was a heel. I was happy to see him on TV, but there's no way to not see that as like him being like demoted, right?
I felt like it was, I just refused to see it. I don't think my heart was ready to accept that. So I really saw it as him doing NXT a solid. Plus, I was in love with NXT at that point, too. So I was like, this is even better for me. You know, I'm like, I'm getting...
Yeah, this was the black and yellow. Yeah.
All right, I'm getting everything I want. I'm getting all of my ice cream Christmases. So I was very happy. But yeah, but it was very much a creative has nothing for you, right? That it was like, this is your option. Take it or leave it. But not only did he take it, he fucking killed it. So
he did. He killed it. And listener Charlie on Twitter said his return to NXT in 2019 was my favorite run of his ever. And not just because he kept buying tighter and tighter trunks. I gotta start reading these before I say
they're gonna cut off circulation at some point. Did you know when he was in Japan, when he was in New Japan, Armani Exchange actually sponsored him? And he was like an Armani Exchange sponsorship model.
He looks like an Armani model without, like, yeah. If he would just cut the beard down to not neck length,
I would
we'll
take the beard down a little bit and maybe not have quite such a strong. I like the messy hair. I like the messy hair. But the man wears a suit. Like, he's like clothes horse. The man's a clothes horse. Put anything on him. I respect that, Charlie. Even if that was your only reason, though, that would be valid. Because he did it. He did it. We're not objectifying the man. The man is...
He knows what he's doing.
He objectifies himself on a daily basis. Can we all remember back to when he was killing the Instagram game and was posting the pictures of himself in the grey trunks that was like, Mr. Grey will see you now.
Yeah.
And then he posted a picture of himself in the red trunks and was like, red wine. And it's like, stop it, you bad man.
Literally knows that the best way to be a heel is to stop presenting his dick to us, because he only gives us the dick in his intro when he's a face. When he's a heel, he's like, no.
You're getting face D.
No D for you. And so now he's part of the Judgment Day. Look, some people call him the leader of the Judgment Day.
And I don't think he would say it too.
I agree.
But I would love for him to have the belt. I would love for him to have the championship and for him, Rhea, to just be like, look at us. I would love that. And you know what I would also love? I would love for Priest to win the Money in the Bank briefcase and for Finn to have the championship. And what does that look like? That's fun, isn't it? Ooh. Then you're like, oh shit, what's happening here? And then you've just got little Dom Dom trying to keep his throuple parents. It's been a real roller coaster for Judgment Day.
True story.
Because they just don't win until now. Now all they do is win.
Once Rhea was kind of established as being the person.
Right. Once they allowed the natural way of things to run its course, things improved for Judgment Day. Finn was losing like every week at one point. Finn just could not get a W. But they really thought his program with Edge was fucking magical. That Mania match, demon aside. Mwah. 16 staples, was it? Holy moly. I loved that match.
I mean, not to compete. Mine was 47. Not to compete.
Well, that's because
I'm only saying it because I'm still paying for them.
Danielle, he's a straight cis white man, and anything you do doesn't matter. Like, of course you did three times as many and no one gave a shit. Of course. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride. Happy Juneteenth.
He's no Cody. That's the only thing.
Civil rights leader Cody Rhodes. Here's more from the Nation of Conversation. So Matthew said, I was at Madison Square Garden in September 2021 when he brought the demon out to crash the Bloodlines interview ahead of their Extreme Rules match, and it is one of the loudest pops I ever experienced live. I believe that shit. A great moment for him. Hope he gets more main events with fewer screwy finishes.
Same.
Because they do that to him a lot.
They do, and it's not fair. I mean, I honestly love him so much, and I love this chat so much. I just think we should all be more Finn Balor. I was going to say he gives off such Labrador puppy vibes.
Oh my God.
But yes. I just see from the internet he may or may not have adopted a hairless cat. It's because he's one of the world's... This is him opening gates again. He's like, what animal can I open the door to and make other people love? And he said, a hairless cat.
I want his last match to be an Extreme Rules match. And then instead of like throwing out thumbtacks, he throws out Legos.
Oh, it would be perfect. And then at the end of the match, everyone should just like come to the ring and like fill it with puppies and kittens. Aww. And those puppies and kittens should all be carrying a different rare Lego set. Oh God, just what a guy.
He's the guy. The guy that'll be like, oh yeah, like I'll wear matching pajamas. If you've got any thoughts on matching pajamas, an Extreme Rules Legos match and hairless cats, you can let us know on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. And when we come back, we've got some things from wrestling that we want to share with you. That is up next on Tights and Fights.
Parenting. It's hard, but don't worry, you're not alone. Belly up to the low bar with One Bad Mother and let us remind you that fine is good enough.
They want to climb on different things. And how am I supposed to keep them both from dying?
There is a right way to do this. And if I can figure out that right way, I'm going to be a good parent. So that is not a thing.
So join us each week and let us tell you that you are doing a good job. You can listen to One Bad Mother on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I am joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
Why did I sound so like
I surprised? Loved it, though. You sounded that my, so that pleased I was Danielle to Radford. Be Danielle Radford, and you like, should be.
Oh,
because what a fucking gift! Yeah, yeah, you are, and we are all so lucky that you are.
Ah, see, and this is where we continue on that little joy bomb I got with the joy of wrestling that we are going to share with you. This is the three count, baby.
Watch my three count.
One, two, three. Lindsay Kalk, my love, my one and only. What are you putting over?
I had like 10 things and then I can't remember any of them. And the only one that I remember was... Miz and Maurice have set up a new Instagram account about their house renovations. They're doing a house renovation show for a network. They haven't announced what. They're being very vague about it, which is probably kind Zeus. Of hilarious. Yeah, I'm like, come on, friends. But I was looking at their home renovation account and thinking, okay, not what I would do, but go nuts. And loads of people were commenting on it, saying, lol, no one's ever going to follow this account. And all I could think was, but you're on it. So I just wanted to send some love their way because this is clearly important to them. And the thing that I actually wanted to put over was not the account itself. I wanted to put over Maurice's curtain bangs. And if you've not been and looked at those curtain bangs,
look,
they are beautiful. It's more of a bang than we've seen on Maurice in the past.
True.
Like normally she's just very straight, long layers. This is a real sweeping, swooping curtain bang.
And I love a curtain bang.
And it's doing it for her. Yeah, it's working for her. I love it. And then if you really felt like it, just go back and Google or find that video of Finn Balor drunk at the football game where he drunkenly accosts his girlfriend and is like jumping on her while she's trying to do her job for Fox Sports Mexico saying, is it true that you're dating WWE superstar Finn Balor? And it's very, very funny and very, very cute because he's a sweet, sweet baby. So curtain bangs, sweet drunk babies.
I love all of those things. So for me, I'm going to put over, I just watched Fast X. Y'all know how much I fucking love the Fast and the Furious franchise. It's so ridiculous. It's so dope. But one thing I will tell you is that they finally fixed one of the biggest mistakes they ever made in the Fast franchise. And no, it isn't bringing back, this is a spoiler, but it's already been online. You know it. It's not bringing back Hobbs and Shaw. It is bringing back John Cena being the dorkiest fun uncle ever. They actually let John Cena be John Cena in this one, and to the point where he actually kind of dresses like a little bit
really?
Like himself
Love
at
it.
One point. And it's just him being like the dorkiest dude ever and just being all of the things that like we enjoy about John Cena now, especially with the context of what he was like back then. Like they have him singing along to like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. No. Like I don't want to spoil a lot of it, but it's like he spends a lot of time being the funny, goofy John Cena. Yeah.
Does he take anyone to the cigar room?
In a sense, yes.
In a sense, he takes us all to the cigar room.
In a sense. And that's the thing is that like the last one he was in, it was very much like, this is my world. I work for the agency, which is like, who the fuck knows what that is? They don't even really like say. And if you know what it is, don't tell me. It's been 10 movies.
I don't want to know.
It's been 10 movies. If they haven't established it enough where I know what it is, I don't need to know it. But the last one, they made him super serious, John Cena. And this one, they were like, oh, you're a giant child.
Yeah.
Let's just make you a giant fun uncle. And it is fucking amazing. And since Halbert is not here today, speaking of uncles, Julian, what do you want to put over, babe?
Consider myself more of a nephew.
Oh, you're all of our nephew. So, that's why we're so protective over you.
true.
So, like the rest of the world, got a lot of Spider-Man on the brain right now. Why not remember a time where Spider-Man and wrestling kind of intersected? I'll play a little clip from it just so we can all relive it. I'll stop before we get to the early 2000s homophobia.
Thank you.
If we could.
Unlock the thing! Take the chain off!
Hey, Freak Show!
The chain.
You're going nowhere! I got you for 3 minutes! 3 minutes of play time!
Honestly, probably one of like the best like little cameos for a wrestler ever. Like, I know we've had like people who have starring roles at this point, but that's actually was a great role. Like,
and also don't forget a lot of Bruce Campbell, and God, this is where I sound like a fucking asshole. But Janelle and Andy Campbell, Bruce Campbell's son and daughter-in-law, are huge wrestling fans, and we should like 100% have them on.
Okay. And you know, see, they were probably thrilled for that just to watch that now.
Dork around. Well, no, I'm just saying, just like, I don't want to be that nerd that like name drops. I'm just literally telling y'all, and it happens to be recorded, that we should have Andy and Janelle on because they're dope and they're my friends. So I guess that's it. That does it for Tights and Fights. This episode ends with me being a name-dropping piece of shit. this week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Danielle Radford. Who got plugs, baby?
I've already plugged the tour. I'm going to plug it again. Please come and see me. Otherwise, it would be so weird, and it will make a mockery of me coming to my country. But I will be in Sheffield, Edinburgh. Newcastle is already sold out, but we're trying to get more tickets. Woo. So that's fun. So don't give up on Newcastle if you are in the vicinity. York, Reading, London, Milton Keynes, Bluewater, and Liverpool. We have a really exciting guest in London, which we will have announced by the time this show airs, so I can say who it is. But I will be in conversation with Elena Armas, who is the author of Spanish Love Deception and Roommate Experiment, who hasn't done any UK events before. This is super, 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 super exciting. I am so pumped to hang out with her. It's going to be like a huge deal. And that one is definitely, definitely going to sell out. So if you are listening to this, jump on those tickets. And they're all at waterstones.com. And yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. There's a book. I'm coming for a book. Just also order the book. Tell your library to get the book. Don't love me do. Please get the book.
Oh, and all the like the promo stuff. Everything that you've been posting on your Instagram and on your TikTok is so fucking cute.
It's so cute. It's so cute. It's much cuter than I am, which is why you should get the book. The book
that's
is the cutest.
True. That's not true.
But if you think about how cute I am, and then it's cuter than that.
I will give you that. Okay. Because it's like you, but you ratcheted up to like 100. So it's like you on like your ultimate cuteness.
Basically, the cutest day of my cutest life.
Yeah.
That's how cute it is.
Yeah. It's you where it's like you're Mick Foley, and then there's the Mick Foley that's like on top of the cage.
Yep.
This is you on top of the cage.
Perfect.
Keep following me on like the Twitter and all that stuff. I swear I have things coming. I keep saying it. It's fine. This week is very stressful, but it's okay. I don't have to punch anyone in their neck yet. Julian, my love, what do you want to plug, babe?
If you really liked Julia Schaffini on last week's episode, you can go listen to this week's episode of the JV Club, where she also appears on there as Janet's guest, and she still talks more about wrestling. She managed to sneak some of it in, so go listen to it.
She's fucking dope. I super enjoyed having her on the last episode. And so our producer is the shadow of a setting pun, Julian Perel. Perel? That's my own pun.
Punnell.
I know. No.
Julian Punnell.
Is that my cat's name?
Yes.
No. Yes. Now we need to get another cat.
I'm not re-recording it. Don't put that down there. Don't put it down. I see the blinker going for you to put it down.
Stop
for
it.
Me to,
stop
for
it,
me to
Julian,
do a pickup.
Julian
Perel. I'm not doing a pickup.
I'll stop hunting for you saying a B consonant in another part of the
no,
show.
No, it's not a pickup. We're keeping that one. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle, our love, is the voice behind our Undertaker theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Halbert was not here, but go check him out over on his Twitter, because I know that he, like, it's convention season. I know that dude be busy. Mm-hmm. And keep up with us all week long on all of our social media channels in the show notes. Find our Tights and Fights WrestleMania shirt at MaxFunStore.com and celebrate Ice Cream Christmas all year long, baby. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling. I'm not doing that pickup.
Here comes the pain. Bow to the masters. This is a podcast. They are podcasters. Max Fun's the network. Tyson Fights is the name.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.